Planet Shakers, we want to welcome you today. Thanks for joining us. I get the privilege of sharing a word that God has given me called joy for the journey. The Bible says the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Come on, somebody. We need more joy. Check this out. I pray that it blesses you. See, the Bible says in Matthew 28, it's going to be up on the screen for us. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given a little bit of authority. Someone knows the word of God. I've been given a measure of authority. I've been given authority sometimes. It says, I've been given all authority. This is Jesus talking, in heaven and on earth. Therefore, stay where you are. Therefore, settle down and have a nice life. Therefore, just chill out. Now it says, therefore, go. Somebody shout, go. Come on, like you mean it. Say, go. Come on, turn to your neighbor and look at him in the face. Say, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, this is the call upon our life. This is the commission that is deep down inside every single one of us. When we encounter God, when we're filled with the Spirit, that's what He's called us to do. And I know this is such simple preaching. Just wait, I'll confound you with wisdom in a moment. Probably not. I know this is such simple preaching, but come on, I believe that God has something for us today. Pastor Sam, during worship, she said this, she gave us this metaphor, this analogy of when she used to grab her child and say, come on, focus, just look at me. And she'd wait for the full attention before she gave the message that she was trying to give. I love you. Now, I believe that God today is wanting to grab our attention. Come on, don't just let this go in our mind, in one ear and out the other. That there is something brewing and something stirring up in the Spirit right now that God wants to pour out in our lives, that God wants to pour out in your spirit, that God wants to go deep down on the inside of you, that there is a city to be saved, that the reason we came and planted a church is to see a city saved. That doesn't happen if we don't go. That means we gotta go. The Bible says the harvest is ripe, so pray for the workers to go into the harvest. That's us, that's what we get to do. Something is expecting in my heart. You know, I was up on screen a few minutes ago in Planet Shakers News and got to announce something is coming up in our church. 2 years ago, we called it Double Portion Sunday. The whole idea is that we would not come to church alone. That we would all, every single one of us, bring someone with us. We called it Double Portion Sunday because that was the vision for the year. Last year, we called it Supernatural Sunday because that was the vision for the year. This year, we're just like, well, the whole thing's just going to be super from the start to the finish. So on the Saturday night, we're having a night noodle market. It's going to be amazing. Can I be honest though? It's not for you. I mean, yes, you can eat it. It's not like you're not allowed to eat if you're a Planet Shaker. No, of course you can eat. But we're not going to all this effort to put on all this stuff just so we can enjoy it. No. It's just like our encounter with God. We don't have an encounter with God. We're not filled with the Spirit just so we can enjoy it. No, so something happens with that. Something flows through that. The reason we put all these things on is so people flow in through the door. They're drawn in by something so they can come in and encounter the power and the presence of God. And so Saturday night is going to be awesome. Saturday night church is normally in a different building, but we're like, oh, we're not going to have room on that week. So let's come here. And then the Sunday, come on, somebody. Let's go. We just got a permit to shut down the whole street out there. That's pretty awesome. We're shutting down the whole street. You will not be able to miss it if you live in South Melbourne. We're going to bring in carnival rides and food trucks and entertainment. But why are we doing that? So it grabs the attention of the community, brings them in through the doors to have their own encounter with God. Because come on, somebody, go into all the world to make disciples. That's our calling. That's our commission. That's our destiny. That's the desire of God. God cares about the details of our lives. It's not a bad prayer to ask, God, what have you called me to do? What vocation? What location? What position? All of those things are things that God cares deeply about, but fundamentally undergirding every single one of those questions is this commission that no matter where you find yourself, no matter what you find yourself, your hand doing, no matter who you're surrounded with, that we are all called fundamentally to the same thing, to go into the world. Your world is different than my world. My people, the people I'm surrounded with day in, day out are a different group of people, but as we all go, come on somebody, something will happen in the city of Melbourne, in the nation of Australia, in the nations of the world. I'm waiting for a few people just to get up and believe me this morning. I'm waiting for someone's heart to open to say, hang on, that's a word of God for me right now. That's a word of God that I need to hear. I'm waiting for someone's faith to reach out and grab a hold of the commission and the calling that God has declared over all of us. Somebody shout, go! Come on, shout, go! Go into all the world. And so today I want to preach a message that, you know, after the last couple of weeks, you might think, haven't we heard enough on that? But again, I feel like God's just grabbing us to say there's a few more of us that just need this revelation to go down deep. Look at me, look at me, look at me. We need this revelation. I believe something significant is happening in the area of joy. And so I want to speak today just a very simple message. Joy for the journey. Joy for the journey. God, we honor you. God, we magnify you. God, we worship you. You're the one we want. You're the one we desire. You're the one that we pursue. You're the one that fulfills us. You're the one that makes us whole. You're the one in whom we find our being, our purpose. God, in your presence, even now, let your peace just rest upon this room. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Come and do what you do. God, I declare today, open hearts, open minds, let that spirit of wisdom and revelation rest in this room. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go. You guys can take a rest as well. Praise God. Praise God. Joy for the journey. Joy. Joy for the journey. You know what? A few weeks ago, my wife and I, more specifically, my wife gave birth to our firstborn child. In fact, there she is over there. I feel like I need to introduce her. Who wants to meet our firstborn child? She's meant to be sleeping. Chelsea's not happy with me. I feel like this moment calls. Keep her. You better take her. Oh, her eyes are open. Hello, buddy. What's going on? Now, they say, I've heard so many people preach, right? I've heard so many people preach that when they first have a child, there's something happens in their heart. My mother-in-law kept telling me that it's so hard to work when your child is in the room. And it's so true. My wife was in the building on Friday. I was trying to work and she a couple of times brought Aria up into the work office area and it was so distracting. I'm like, you got to get her out of here. I can't focus. Because something happens in your heart. So I've heard people preach that all of a sudden you get such a deeper revelation of the Father heart of God. And I'm like, oh, yes, something happened in my heart 5 weeks ago. My heart now knows a love that I never knew before. It's a love for sleep that I think about it all the time. All throughout the day, I come to work, I can't stop thinking about it. I go home at night, I can't stop thinking about it. I pine for it, I long for it. It's a love that I've never had like this to this moment. What a blessing. But she came out into this world And we felt like we had a name from God. We just wanted to take a look at her and say, does this face fit the name that we feel like we have from God? And we took a look at her and we're like, yeah, I think this is perfect. Her name is Aria, which is a type of music and it means a few different things. But in Hebrew, it means lioness of God. She came out with a full mane. Now, I know it's the male lions that have a mane, but it fits. She's got a full-on mane. Now, that's the bit that you can see publicly. What you can't see is she doesn't just have a mane. She came out with her winter coat on. She's got more hair on her back and shoulders than I've got on my legs. And I'm like, what in the world? She's got so much hair on her shoulders, it curls around. You could take a curler to it and make plaits out of the hair on her shoulders. I took one look at my wife and I'm like, that's not my side of the family. You must have dealt with that issue before I met you, because that's a lot of hair. People keep telling me that it's going to fall out. It's been 6 weeks, hasn't fallen out yet, but I'm not concerned. It's 2019. There are solutions. So good. Lasers. So we'll get you sorted, baby girl. But it's hilarious, right? I can't believe they let you take a human being home from the hospital with no license. We just walked out with her. We're like, this can't be legal. This is weird as. How can I keep this thing alive? But she's alive. Praise God. And we've learned a lot over the last 5.5 weeks is that, see, the only way she has to communicate right now is by crying. And so as soon as she cries, we're like, all right, what does that mean? It's my job as a parent to translate cry into English. And so I got to work out, is this a wet diaper? Is this, I'm too tired? Is this, I've got gas? Is this, I'm hungry? And I feel like after 5.5 weeks, I've got it nailed. I've learned it all. I know everything there is about being a parent. I've got a book coming out on Thursday. I can tell you all about it. Not even close. Every day is a journey. But I feel like I've got it down, at least as far as the cries go. I'm pretty good now, 5 weeks in interpreting the cry. And she'll let out a cry every now and again. And I'm like, I think that's a wet diaper cry. Woo, yep, that's a wet diaper cry. And so what happens is she will cry. And the moment I work out what her request is, I set about providing a solution for that. Now, you or I would understand that. Is if you were to see me do this, pick my child up, take her into the room, lay her down, and begin to tear off her clothes and begin to wipe down the mess that she's created in there, you and I would understand that the solution is on the way. Problem is, she doesn't understand that yet. She goes from being slightly uncomfortable. Sometimes she's actually very comfortable because she's filled her clothes with something warm, which is just a whole nother journey in itself. But she goes from being slightly uncomfortable to being laid out on a table, stripped bare, and what was warm liquid filling her nether regions is now something freezing cold and clean being placed somewhere very uncomfortable, which I think if it happened to you or I, we also would not enjoy it. And so she goes from being slightly uncomfortable to being in a totally different environment, totally uncomfortable, and she begins to wail like it's the most traumatic experience of her life, like some horror film. I have made her life infinitely worse, and I'm trying to get her to learn just to trust me. If she could trust me that there is a journey between where she is and where she wants to go, the journey is not always enjoyable, but the journey is necessary to get her where she needs to be. Now, truth is, you know what I'm saying this morning. We all can live like that, because we all live in a tension of knowing where we are right now and then wanting to be somewhere else. I believe the moment you encounter the power and the presence of God, something happens in here. We are made alive to the possibilities of the power of God. Then all of a sudden we recognize I am here and God's calling me there. But the problem is, we all just want to be there straight away. The reality is, we spend our life on a journey. I'm not where I want to be yet, but let me tell you, I'm thankful I'm not where I used to be. And so we live our life on this journey. And if our life is a journey, then we got to learn to have joy for the journey. But the problem is, the way that we've been raised and the way the world operates is a lot of us, we feel like we can't be happy until we get there, until we get to the destination that we are pursuing. You see, true joy is not found in the destination, but so many of us have become caught up in destination addiction. We have become enthralled with the idea that joy is found over there. And if joy is found over there and we are here, then inevitably joy is not where we are. And when we start to believe that it's an accomplishment or an achievement or some sort of destination that makes us happy, then we will not be happy until we are there. But then that begs the question, if that is our mindset, what is it that we are truly worshiping? Because what we find ourselves doing is seeking other sources to bring fulfillment to us. Can I suggest to you today, your job is not your source. Your possessions are not your source. Your relationships are not your source. Your titles and your degrees are not your source. Your grades are not your source. Your followers are not your source. Your popularity is not your source. All you gotta do is open up social media and you will see a long list of other people's achievements. You're going to see someone you follow just bought the kicks that you want to buy. Oh, the worst. You unfollow, exactly. Then, oh, I didn't know you got them. You're going to see someone that just bought the jacket you really want to buy. You're going to see someone who just graduated when you should have been graduating. You're going to see someone buy the house that you wanted to buy. You're going to see someone go on the holiday that you wanted to go on. And inevitably, it's gonna be to Japan because everyone wants to go to Japan. I got no problem with Japan, but everyone wants to go to Japan. You can get joy in Melbourne as well, people. What is it about Japan? Konnichiwa. Genuinely, I have no problem with Japan. It just amazes me how many people want to go to Japan. You can have joy here, it's okay. But logging on. We feed ourselves daily with a highlight reel of other people's accomplishments, and looking at that can show you what you don't have. And if you could just have that, you could have joy. But friends, that is not a source that can bring joy. You see, there's nothing wrong with pursuing achievement. There's nothing wrong with doing things in life. In fact, the Bible says in Genesis 1, God created us to do. God created us to be fruitful, Bible says, multiply, subdue, and have dominion. That is our calling, but it is not our source. And see, if you're anything like me, I'm a driven person. I like to be busy. I like to be doing something. I like to be achieving something. But you can make a mistake if you're driven in thinking that that is what is going to fulfill you. And over there is where your joy is. But the problem is, if that is a counterfeit source of joy. It's a counterfeit source of strength. It's a counterfeit source of grace. What we need to understand is today, right here, where I am in the presence of God, I can be filled with joy. I can be filled with grace. I can be filled with power. I can be filled with strength. And from that position, then I can go, because nothing is impossible. The sermon here today is don't do things with your life. No, the sermon is doing won't fulfill us. Doing is our calling, but it's not our source. Being in the presence of God, that's the greatest fulfillment we can have. Another thing I see so often, people thinking that destination addiction, joy is found where you're going, it can't be here. Another thing I find is people being enamored with this idea of settling down. Ugh, I hate that. That just goes against my nature. It goes against my personality. Now, for some people, it is your personality. But for all of us, this idea of settling down can creep up on us whether we want it or not. A few years ago, I was in America visiting my wife's family. And an unnamed family member who's watching online today, she was watching last service as well. Hi, Mom. But not telling you who it was, of course. But she just simply made a statement. I guess Aussie guys don't really care about fitness as much as American guys do. I'm like, thank you very much. Point taken. Now, she did text me after the last service and she goes, I'm well aware that the Wolverine and Thor are both from Australia. I'm like, that doesn't matter. you've wounded me, not just personally, but nationally. I feel like on behalf of our nation, I need to make a stand, to stand up for the goodness of Australia. It's a patriotic act that I needed to undertake because Australia is the best nation in the world. About seven people in this room believe that. Oi, you all live here. There should be some form of agreement. Australia's the best nation in the world. That's right, let's go. And so I began to undertake, I took that bit of feedback under my belt and I'm like, all right, no worries, I'll put some effort into that area. I'd never considered myself wildly overweight, but somehow I'd settled down in this area. You see, I had a gym membership. It was one of those cheap gym memberships. I didn't pay much money for it, but I also only went like once every 6 months. And so I'm like, I got to do something here. And so I embarked on a journey with a fitness chain that charges a lot more. They charge a lot of money. Now, Pastor Russell calls me the cult leader of this fitness chain, which, you know, I've never preached to anyone to say they should do it. But if you've got questions, I'm happy to answer them. I genuinely enjoy it. And this particular fit, I knew that things were getting out of hand when five weddings that I officiated last year, this particular gym ended up in the vows. And I'm like, that's some commitment for the rest of your life. Wowee, let's go. And so I've been going to this gym and you pay a lot more money for it. You know what's funny about that is because I'm paying more for it, I'm paying a higher price. I feel a greater need to go because I place a higher value on it. So now I go every day of the week, except Sundays. I keep trying to get my owner to start a 6:30 class. He refuses. So Sundays is my Sabbath, not a problem. I get enough of a workout in the praise pit. Anyway, everybody said amen. And so what's great about this particular workout, great for me, is I place a high value on it, but not only that, every single person in the room is doing the exact same workout that I'm doing. And what that means is there's a level of accountability because all of a sudden, I can't just pretend that I'm going hard. See, if I go on my own, I can convince myself that I'm doing so good. I'm like, yeah. You know, first time I ever went, this 60-year-old woman walked into the class. She's this tiny looking thing, old. And I mean, not that old, 60's not way old, but she's older than I am. And she walks in, I took one look at her and I'm like, psh, easy. She old, I'm gonna outwork her, I'm gonna outrun her, I'm gonna outlift her. Can I tell you, 3 minutes into that class, I was on the floor. Like I was like, call me an ambulance. And she's doing laps around me. I was like, humble, no worries. The Lord needed to humble me. But I've been going for 2 years now. And the accountability has helped and the value I placed on it has helped. And now in the studio that I go to, I'm one of the fittest. I'm like close to the top and I'm close to this, like one of the strongest in pretty much every class I'm in. I'm like, yeah, not a problem. But then Pastor Sam, she decides, you know what? It would be great to get a whole bunch of us doing this together. And so on Wednesday mornings after 7 a.m. prayer, a lot of us all go down to the local studio and we do a class together. And the first time I did this, I walked into this class and I'm like, shh, not a problem. I'm like close to the best in my class. I'm close to the strongest in the ones that I go to. And I step into this room surrounded by people I know. And I'm like, oh, hang on a second. Turns out I've settled down. Because in that room filled with people that I knew, filled with people that could keep me to a higher level of accountability, all of a sudden I couldn't cheat anymore. And I got Pastor Sam running behind me, doing the high knees and then doing the step ladder and then jumping. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll keep going then. See, because if I cheat in class, I gotta look her in the eyes later and then she'll know that deep down, I'm really just a cheat. And my settling was exposed again. Can I be honest? Oh, I love it. I love it because now I go and there's a higher level of accountability and a higher level of commitment. Can I tell you, this is not my sermon today, but this is why urban life groups are so wonderful and so brilliant because we're surrounded with people that are going the same direction we are, that are living the same life we are, and we step into that room and we're like, oh, hang on, maybe I'm not doing as much as I thought I was. Maybe I'm not believing for as much as I could believe for. Maybe I'm not stepping out in faith as much as that person is stepping out. And really what it does is it shows us, hey, come come on, you settled in that area. You could believe for more. You could go for more. You could have faith for more. You could step into more. You could go for more. Come on, somebody. God hasn't called us to live a life of settling down. And so I love it when that thing gets exposed in my life, because I'm like, there's an area. And that's the thing, is it's not my personality to settle, but it creeps up on us. People settle for all types of reasons. Some people settle in one area of life because if they think to themselves, if I can just settle things down over here, then I can cope with the rest of life. If I can just keep control of things over here, then I can get through the rest of life. Can I suggest to us that God has not called us to a life of coping? God hasn't called us to a life of just getting through. God has called you a conqueror. God has called you an overcomer. The promises are that nothing is impossible with Him. God has called us to a life of possessing, to a life of taking ground, to a life of breakthrough, to a life of the miraculous, not settling down. That's not our call. Years ago, when I was a younger Christian, one of the things that I started doing very, very early on was giving and tithing. That's just something that God did in my heart, as no one really had to convince me of it. I just saw the promises of God attached to it. And I'm like, yeah, that's for me. If that's God's heart, let's do it. And so I would give and I would tithe. But I would also pray and I would get frustrated. Because I'd say, God, I've been doing this for a few years now, but I still have all these needs in these areas. God, I need this and I need this and I want that. I want to call it a need, but really it's just a want. And I want that. And I want that, and look at these people, they've got that, and I want that. And I'd begin to get frustrated with God, because in my head, what I was working towards was a level of faith where if I could give enough and faith enough, then I would finally get to this financial place of not being in need anymore. And that's what I was trying to go for. But one day as I was praying, I had this revelation. Being in need is a good thing. Because if I'm ever in a place in life where I don't need anything, that means I got no vision for more. The Bible says if King David, when he looked back over his life, he made this statement, never have I seen the righteous forsaken. And I took a moment to look back over my life and said, God, I'm not where I want to be yet, but you brought me such a long way. And I had this revelation in that moment that actually for the rest of my life, not just in finances, but in faith, in relationships, in vision, in desire, in every part of my life. Being in a place of need is really a sign of being in a place of vision. Can I suggest to you, if you don't need anything from God, if you're not believing God for a miracle, if you're not believing God for some sort of breakthrough, if you're not praying to God for some area of more in your life, then you need a bigger vision for your life. The vision that God has for your life. Because the vision that God has for your life, the Bible says about Him, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The destiny that God has on you, you cannot accomplish on your own. That's a natural vision. God has a supernatural destiny for you. It's one of breakthrough. It's one of glory. I'm waiting for someone deep down in their spirit to grab a hold of this word for you today. God has something greater for you. Perhaps in this moment of the Holy Spirit, you recognize, hang on, I've settled in an area. Then allow the Holy Spirit to stir you up today. He's got more for us. That's a good place to be. But if we live life thinking that our joy is found over there, then we're never going to enjoy this journey that we're on. So how do we get joy? How do we get joy for our journey? The Bible says in Romans 15:30, it says, I pray that God, this is Paul writing to the Roman church, I pray that God, who is the source of hope, He's where our hope comes from. I pray that He will fill you completely with joy and peace because you finally achieved enough with your life. Doesn't say that. Because you finally arrived at a place of success. Doesn't say that. Because you finally got control of every area of your life. You're in control. Everything's all fine. Now you can have joy. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Because we trust Him. then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Planet Shakers, God fills us with joy as we trust Him. It's not when we're perfect. It's not when we chase after joy itself. It's not when we complete our vision. It's not when we get the grades our parents have told us we need to get. It's not when we graduate and get the job that we have to get. It's not when we get the titles and the degrees after our name. It's not when we get the house and the money that we think we need. It's not when we get married. No, it is when we trust God that we are filled with joy. He is the source of our hope. He is the source of our peace. He is the source of our joy. And if we're going to have joy for our journey, there is only one place it truly comes from, and that is God. Trusting God seems like such a simple key to a life of joy. How do we keep from settling? How do we keep from pursuing joy in other destinations? Got to trust God. And the easiest place to trust God, Psalm 16:11 says this, that in His presence is fullness of joy. Not a drop, not a moment, not an instant. Fullness. Jesus, when He was talking to His disciples in John 15, says, I pray that you will be filled with joy. You know, if we can be filled with joy, it also means we can be empty of joy. If you need to be filled, it's found in His presence. When we're in His presence, there's no other destination that we desire. When it's in His presence, He fills us with the desire to go, not to settle down. And that's what we were singing this morning, that God would take us from glory to glory, from breakthrough to breakthrough, from strength to strength, that it is His nature, it is His character to move us onwards. Moving forwards in life is our calling, but it's not our source. Our source is God, that as we step into His presence, that's where fullness of joy is, and then with His presence filling us, we get the privilege and the honor of walking out of these doors into the world and going into all the world, going into our communities, going into every street, going into our city to make disciples of the nations, to see men and women and children and the elderly and the middle-aged saved with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need joy for the journey. See, because if you don't have joy, to do me a favor, every person all over this room, why don't we stand to our feet? The reason I believe this message is so powerful for some of us, for all of us, but some of us still needed another message on joy. Why? Because I feel like God is just grabbing our face today to say, listen, listen to me, listen to me. You don't get it from achievements. You don't get it from accomplishments. Yes, that's part of what you're called to do, but that's not where your joy comes from. That's not your source. You don't get it from being in control of everything and settling down. No, you get it in His presence. As we see Him, the Bible says, we become like Him. Can I tell you, there is not a depressed person in the world that wants to go into all the world and make disciples. When we are lacking joy, we're weak. We're not strong. But when we're filled with joy, it's the most natural thing for us to do. It's like, yo, I got something you got to hear about. I got something you got to experience. I've experienced, you got to encounter this. It's the greatest thing. Friends, the gospel is the good news. It's not bad news. It's not shameful news. It's not judging news. It's good news. What a joy that we get to share this with the world. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to break some things off in the way we've been raised, in the way we think, in the way we act, in the way we pursue. That today, for some of us that recognize that we've settled down, He wants to stir you up. And for some of us that recognize we've been pursuing joy in other destinations, He wants to bring you back to right here and right now and say, son, daughter, all you need is found in His presence. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that wherever you are, the joy of the Lord would be real to you. Hey, we'd love to stay in touch with you. We can do that on social media. You can find us online at Planet Shakers. Come to our website, planetshakers.com. And why don't you check out our brand new album, Rain, available now on all digital platforms. Have a great day. We'll see you soon.